thought for today. I like me business-wise. I like me business-wise. I like me business-wise. What do you think that might mean? I like me business-wise. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought what that means? I like me business-wise. It means in all activities where I am conducting my life, where I am in charge of my affairs, my business life, I do everything in a perfect, beautiful, harmonious way. In all activities, wherever I'm conducting my life, in a way that I want to achieve a goal, that's my business. My business is to live in harmony and peace with myself and with everything that I'm doing. My business is to speak positive thoughts. My business is to live in a positive way. My business is to see the world pure, beautiful, fantastic, to see everything harmonious. My business is to be perfect. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as is your Father, which art in heaven." We're supposed to be perfect like God is at whatever interpretation we have of God. If we have an interpretation that God is absolute, God is perfect, God is all, and we're supposed to be like that, that's quite a challenge. That's a real business for us to enter into. Now, are we going to be like our 16th President Abraham Lincoln, who himself failed many times as he was walking the path? Yes, we will. Do we have to be that way? No, we don't. Why did Lincoln ever fail when he was such a sincere and responsible man? For one reason. He didn't believe in himself. If he had believed in himself, as he finally did, he would have achieved that success a lot quicker. If his business had been positive thinking all of his life, he would have succeeded a great deal sooner. He was a man of integrity. Are we a man of integrity? He was a man with great ability. Are we with great ability? He was a person who stood up for the principles that he found and developed in his life. Are we that way? He himself fell flat on his face when it came to his emotions. He let his emotions, his need, his desire for another person, utterly destroy him. In fact, give him a nervous breakdown, put him out of the running for, 6 months? That's a long time to have an emotion take over your life. Well, our business is to be in charge of our emotions. Our business is to be in charge of our attitudes. Our business is to be in charge of every single thing that concerns our life. And the only way that we will successfully be in charge of our life, to be in charge of our emotions, to be in charge of our experiences, is what? Is to be master of our attitude. You see, Lincoln could have been a success every step along the way if his attitude had been one of success. But he was told by other people that he wouldn't win. "But I'm going to win." But in the back of his mind, he believed what those other people said. Because they said, "You're too young. You're too inexperienced. These other people are ignoble. They're going for what they want regardless of what it does to another." But you'll notice, as Ingeborg told us the story of Lincoln's life, only when Lincoln started to stand up as an attorney, he studied the law, only when he stood up as an attorney for the rights of humanity, for the rights of slavery, not of slavery, but against slavery, the rights of the individual to be a free man in a free country. There cannot be slaves in a free country. If there are slaves in a free country, it's not free. And so he stood up for that. That became his clarion call. That became his theme to fame. That rose him in the eyes of everyone. whether they agreed with him or not. He was raised up to the level of then the presidency. He was a strong opponent of slavery. He was a strong proponent of freedom. And he talked freedom, shared freedom, spoke freedom. And he put the laws through Congress, which brought about the freedom of the slaves. But subsequently, a war took place and many other things took place because there were different states in the United States that wanted to have slavery. And they objected. And so their business was to make it tough on him. But he had found his niche. He had found who he was. He had found his business in life. Standing up for principle. Before that, he learned principle. He studied it. You and I, we've learned principle. We've studied it. Are we at the point now where we are ready to stand up for principle? And I am sorry to say, apparently not. Because we let little things take us from our goal. Take us from our goal. The higher you are in your spiritual life, in your business life, in your social life, in your life of following who you are, the more careful you have to be that you don't let the little things topple you. And they will. They'll topple you. Not because they're bad, not because they're wrong, but because for you it is not acceptable. For you, you cannot do it. For you, a person of principle, a person who has set for yourself the goal of your spiritual mastership, you cannot allow your emotions, your attitudes, your environment, you can't allow any of that to manipulate you. For if you allow any of that to manipulate you, you will not walk your spiritual path. Oh, you're always walking your spiritual path. I know that. You know that too. But there are many levels of walking your spiritual path. The Irish sang a song. You take the high road and I'll take the low road. I'll be in Scotland afore ye. For me and my true love will wander o'er the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. Now, what's that song about? That song is about two roads to Scotland. Two roads. One is the road of pleasure. One is the road of looking at the beautiful scenery and enjoying life as you go along, which is all right. And the other is a straight and narrow path to arrive at your goal most expediently, most quickly, most wonderfully, most powerfully, so that you can begin to enjoy the gift of the goal. And you say, well, why not enjoy the path on the way to the goal? Well, certainly. Do you think that the people walking the straight and narrow are not enjoying the path? They certainly are. They're enjoying the path with all of their heart because they're not challenged this way or that way by desire, by lust, by choice, by experiences of wanting to do this, wanting to do that. They're getting there. The majority of the world is taking the low road, the road of pleasure and excitement and adventure. They don't even know. They don't even have any inkling of what the high road is like. The high road is a road of purity, nobleness. The high road is a road of standing up for who you are under any circumstance. Because on the high road, you're given challenges too. You're given tests on the straight and narrow. Oh my, you're given tests. You're given tests to see if you can stand up for who you are. You see, our business, whatever it may be, the low road or the high road, using those two as an illustration, is whatever you choose it to be. And neither is wrong. But it's the same as the illustration I gave yesterday. Here's the world. You can go 2 feet forward and you can be in heaven. You can go all the way around the world to come to that place 2 feet forward and be in heaven. It's a choice. And you're making that choice, all of you, in one way or another. Whenever you rebel, whenever you are against what you truly want to do, whatever you're against following the programs that you set up for yourself, then you're going the opposite way around to your goal. You could just walk that 2 feet to have it. I tell you, that's a nice snap. I tell you, when you can be so one-pointed, just the snap of your finger, you will be there. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take strenuous experiences. It just takes that inner dedication to who we really are, that inner awareness of who we really are, that inner desire to be who we really are. Are you ready to be who you really are? If you are, you will have it. If you are, you will experience it. If you are, you already know it. But you joke with me. You say you want to follow your spiritual path. You say you want to do it with all your heart. This is your time. You've come here to the monastery because this is the most important thing in your life right now. And then you don't do it. Now, it's not because you do outward things. I don't care how many times you slip and fall. I don't care how many times you stub your toe. I don't care how many times you do dumb things. But to do them continuously, to persist in doing dumb things, that doesn't get you anywhere. There, you're not willing to be taught. And in our Art and Science of Wholeness, there's a statement. It says, I think Confucius said it, if any student is not willing to be taught, I'm not willing to teach him. The student has to be ready to be taught, has to be ready to be shown the way, and then to follow it. If in school you don't do your homework, you're left behind. If in life you don't do your job, you're fired. If as a woman you're having a baby, and you're drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes and taking drugs, and then you say, why does my baby come up with only one arm? Why does my baby have this mental disorder? Why does my baby have, they blame the world for their own lack of judgment. When you are forming a life within you, you want to keep your body so pure, your thoughts so pure, your world so pure, that that life has the opportunity to come forth so pure. We can say that a being coming forth in a negative environment chooses to come forth in that negative environment. And if you offer that negative environment, then it comes through you. But I say to all of you, as often as it comes up, any person has the right to die if they wish. I do not want to be part of their death. I do not want to be the car that runs them over. I do not want to be the person who shoots the bullet that kills another person. I do not want to destroy another person's life, even though it's their choice. I do not want to be part of it. I do not want to be part of another life that is unhappy, another life that is seeking and striving and looking for something and not doing it. I want to only be the part of lives that have seen the light and are ready to walk the way. And I will encourage them all the way. I will challenge them with little things which, if they handle it right, they'll be strengthened. All of you are so eager to jump up and do the things that I ask you to do that make a big show. But the things that I ask you to do that nobody else knows about, you're not so eager to do. Because you're showmen. You like to run out and do something that I say do in front of everybody else. But when I say, now, tell yourself you like yourself. Have beautiful thoughts. Listen to your heart. Whatever somebody else says about you is unimportant. It's what you say about yourself. That's all that's important. Don't be touched by it. And you see, there, but I got a right to feel sad. I got a right to feel unhappy. I got a right to be mad at the world. Yes, you have a right to do anything. Not necessarily a right, but you have the privilege of doing anything you want to do. Anything you want to do. Now, what is it you want to do? What is it you want to do? The man was here with the furnace yesterday, and we were talking to him about John, and he said, John is really an amazing man. He knows everything. He is so brilliant. Well, now, that's lovely. Now, did John sparkle that man's attention by his amazing ability to know everything? Or would John like to sparkle that man's attention with the idea that he is a divine being filled with light and love, and that he doesn't impress the other man with who he is, he impresses the other man with who the other man is. He sparkles to the goodness in the other man, so the other man walks away saying, God, I feel good. I'm in that University of Healing community and I just feel so good. I feel so wonderful. And he doesn't know about Herb Byerly. He doesn't know about Ellen or John or the people. He just said, I feel so good. You hear what I'm saying? You see, when we live our life as masters, everyone has no idea what's happening to them. They just say, man, I feel good around them. And we don't take credit for that. We don't think, yeah, that's because we're so darn good. We don't say that. We just be our divine self at all times. This is what we're here for. This is our business. Our business is not monkey business. Not going sailing, going flying, driving cars, impressing others with our great skill, such as being a race car driver or something, you know. Our business is to be divine. I was reading the stories of some race car drivers the other day, and as I read the story, I was thinking to myself, you know, in the story about the race car driver, in the introduction it said he won so many races, but never once during the story did they mention anything about his race car driving. They mentioned about his personality, what a noble person he was on the track, how he would not hurt another driver consciously. He moved to the side, even though it meant he would lose, rather than causing another man an accident. He used beautiful language. He was a positive and loving person. Throughout the entire article, it spoke about his divinity, not about his human skills as a driver. It mentioned that at the beginning. That's why the article was written. But the man was a man of quality, a man who stood up. He won, not because he was over others, but because he was his personal best. He won because he was a master of whatever he did. He's not a master of others on the track, he was a master of himself on the track. He's a master of himself in life. Can we be masters of ourselves like that? Can we walk our path so beautifully and so wonderfully that we're always in charge? Can we always be a noble, beautiful person that people will look at and say, my goodness, that's a wonderful person? Can we do that? Think about it. That's our business. Our business is to be divine. Now, if you want to walk the human path, do the human adventure, there's a great big world out there willing to have you come and do it. There's a little cadre of beings here, a group of people here, who care about their spiritual path more than anything on earth. This is not an old folks' home. This is not a place where you get free room and board. This is not a place where you have lots of fun things to play with, although we have that. This is a place where every one of us is learning to be master of ourselves. And we slip and we make a mistake. But to make the mistake twice, or to make the mistake even more times, means that we're not trying. When a child in school makes the same mistake a number of times, the teacher said, they're intractable. You cannot teach them. But the teacher, if the teacher is a teacher, will take that child and say, Anita, stay after school with me. I have a few things I want to talk to you about. So Anita stays after school. And then the teacher says, Anita, you've been having trouble with 2 times 2 is 4. Now, I know it's not 2 times 2 is 4 that's bothering you, but there's something else. Now, would you like to tell me about it so we can work on it? The teacher already knows what it is because the teacher is in tune with the student, if the teacher is a teacher at all. And so, then the teacher finds out that at home, her father never learned 2 times 2 is 4 and said anyone who learns 2 times 2 is 4 is stupid. Anyone who is interested in mathematics is stupid because the father never learned it, so he belittled it in front of his children. The rest of the kids didn't take it, but Anita was very sensitive to her dad, and so she took it. And the teacher ferreted this out. And then the teacher said, do you know, you, Anita, you can learn mathematics. You can learn this. And you can ask your daddy to show you how to do what you know how to do. And you can invite him to think of it the way you're learning how. And then your daddy will stop being against mathematics, because mathematics just is. There's nothing we can do about it. We add our grocery bill and we do this. And so Anita says, I can help my daddy? And the teacher says, sure. So instead of kicking Anita out because she is intractable, the teacher makes Anita a teacher. And Anita goes home and doesn't act superior to her daddy, but she says, Daddy, I have to learn mathematics, because if I don't learn it, I don't pass in school. And would you help me? Me, I don't like mathematics. But Daddy, I want to pass in school. Will you help me, please? You're my daddy. You know everything. But what can he do, you know? What can he do? So Anita gets him to teach her mathematics that her teacher in school already is teaching her. And she says, oh, Daddy, you're so smart. That's right, Daddy. That's how. And pretty soon Daddy is learning mathematics too. And then he's never again saying to anyone that he didn't learn mathematics and he doesn't like it. Now, it's not that Anita did this gift for her father. She did the gift for herself. Her father was merely one of the actors in the play, one of the showmen in the screen. But Anita, instead of being a failure like her father was in mathematics, became a noble, beautiful being. Not seeing her father as stupid because he didn't learn, but seeing that he didn't have the opportunity, because perhaps he had to go to work before he was able to take that course in school, or whatever thing. You see, our business is to be our highest and best. Our business is to be our most noble person. Our business is not to go around acting superior to anybody else, not to do whatever we want to do, just because we want to do it. We do those things that we live harmoniously with, that we have agreed to do. We do those things that are walking us toward our path. Now, you could go to other schools, and they would have different criteria. They would have different things that they would use as teaching tools. These are our tools. In a different school, you would have a different training program, more suitable to people who want to do those type of things. And that's just great. If you want to go to school here and be done then apply yourself. If you want to just talk about how long will it take, how long will it take, years and years and years. Yes, it'll take years and years and years if you do not apply what you're learning. That's as simple as that. Just remember one thing, and this is no feather in my hat. I'm your teacher. And if you don't follow what I ask you to do, then I'm not your teacher, and I cannot help you. But if you follow the simple things I ask you to do, none of them is against your principles, none of them against your morals, none of them against anything in life, it's just things that you have agreed to do. If you follow them, you're going to walk that spiritual path the most quickly. But if you forget that I'm the teacher, and you start treating me like one of your peers, then my effectiveness is nil. If you forget that when I tell you to do something, I'm not just joking, even though I may look like I'm joking. I'm very serious. That's my business. My business is being here as a sharer, a catalyst, a teacher, whatever terms you want to use. Your business, if I may say so, is to be here as a student. And when you're no longer a student, then it's not your place to be here. But so long as you're a student, this is the place for you to be. This is the place for anyone to be. We don't make money off of you here. That's for darn sure. We spend money to keep you here. We spend money to help you on your spiritual path. And when you follow the path, we are glorified in you. When you don't follow the path, we are still glorified in you. But the time and money appears to be wasted. Yet it's not really wasted, because the seeds are planted. And the day will come when you will wake up and say, "My God, why did I suffer so long being a normal human when I could have been a divine human like that?" Your choice. Your choice. Just don't forget. The things that I say all have deep meaning. The things that I ask of you all have deep significance. The things that I do to you, if you want to interpret them as nasty, then go right ahead. If you want to interpret them as gentle and loving, go right ahead. If you want to interpret them as sexual, go right ahead. That's been done before. I don't guarantee you anything, but I could. I've been there, done that. That's not my show. What is your show? Think about it very seriously. What is your show? Anytime you think you're superior to me, think about it. Because it's not a matter of being superior. It's a matter of having your own way. To be superior to me is my delight. When you rise beyond the level of awareness that I have, I'd love that. I'd love that. I encourage that. Every father raising a son teaches the son everything he knows. And then the son knows everything the father knows and everything the son knows. And the son can be greater than the father, but only if the son has the humility to recognize that part of his greatness was through his father. Part of your greatness is through your sharer, through your teacher. And if you don't recognize that, you have no benefit from this. But if you recognize that and enjoy it, that's great. I am purely a catalyst for you. You take whatever you've learned here and whatever you've learned, that's your business, and make a joyous life for yourself. And I will support you all the way. I always am with you, regardless of where you are, what you're doing, whether you're here, there, or anywhere, I'm with you. because you're my job, and I love you.